and welcome back to Talking Talmud. I'm Ann Gordon here with my friend and chavruta Yerdana Azband. Our daf of the day, Masechet Bav Metzia, daf tet, page 9. So we have more on the kinyanim, on these formal acts of acquisition here. And I'm going to say that this daf is built in such a way that there's a lot of back and forth, and we're not going to delve into all of it. I feel like we make these excuses, you know, because we're doing daf yomi, we're not going to do all of the words. And that's just, I'm sorry, true. But I want to cover a good chunk of the essence of what's going on here. The Gemara says, towards the top of the daf, it says, Ika chad tsar de lokani, Ika de amre mishich b'chamor, v'ika de amre hanaga b'gamal. So the Gemara here is responding to what it's been talking about on the end of daf chet and the top of daf tet already. And it's talking about exactly this question of how do you acquire an animal via these acts of acquisition. So the Gemara says, right, there's one way that where, and it's a whole discussion that goes back to Rabbi Yehuda, but again, his name is not here right now, that you don't acquire that animal if what you're doing is meshicha. It's not clear. No, I'm sorry. Let me say this better. There's one way by which you don't acquire the animal. And the question is, which way is the way by which you don't acquire the animal when you do it as a formal act of acquisition that would work under other circumstances? So there are those who say it means pulling a donkey. Why would pulling a donkey not work? Well, the claim is that when donkeys are pulled, they kind of get stubborn, right? Like stubborn as a mule, and they won't move. So then that's not a way to acquire a donkey. It's not effective. It might work for a horse, right? But or cow, but it's not going to work for a donkey. And there are others who say that driving a camel is not going to work as an act of acquisition. Why? Because that's not the way you get camels to move. Now, I don't know anything about camels, and I've heard certainly the term camel drivers. So I'm not exactly sure what the behavior is, right, that is not working. But the question is, when do these formal acts of acquisition not actually take effect, as opposed to saying they always take effect? And I'm sorry, as opposed to saying, when do they take effect? It says they generally take effect, but they won't under certain exceptions. The Gemara goes on, Ve'ita motiv masefa. Right? So there's another way of looking at this whole discussion, namely, b'mida zokana, b'mida zolimi, right? So we can say there are those who are going to object to the one who says, right, that you can acquire this animal. And then the question is how? And it goes back to what's discussed above. And I'm sorry not to do all of it inside, but the question is, what if you're riding on the animal? Does that count? Right? So the question is, you know, does that work to actually acquire the animal? So it says, if so, lav lemute rachuv isn't going to include riding on the animal. Lo lemute ipcha, it's going to exclude, I'm sorry, the phrasing is it not to exclude the one who sits riding? The answer is no, it's to exclude the opposite. What does it mean, the opposite? The one who's pulling, right? So all of this Gemara is kind of like to flesh out, pardon me, the exact way this exclusion of this formal act of acquisition goes into effect. So then here we've got Rabbi Yehuda's name, right? The Gemara says, well, if that's the case, then you don't have a different opinion here than Rabbi Yehuda to begin with, right? Why? Now we're going to hear the difference between them, and with that we'll understand the view of Rabbi Yehuda. Tzad echad delokana, id da'amrei meshicha b'chamor, ve'ika da'amrei anaga b'gamal. So the Gemara says, well, the practical difference, the nafkamina between these cases is specifically what is the act of acquisition in which you do not acquire the animal. Meaning, like we just said before, maybe by pulling a donkey, it doesn't work. And maybe by driving a camel, it doesn't work. And those two cases are the practical difference between Rabbi Yehuda's act of acquisition that will work and these other views that say it will not work. Tashma. Achad rachuv chamor b'mosera. So we've got now, it's an attempt at a proof from a breita that in fact you can acquire that animal by riding on it, or perhaps by sitting on it without actually moving. It's not clear. So the Gemara says here, right? Zo zek kana chamor v'zek kana mosera. What happens if a person is sitting in a riding, like as if they're going to ride, right? They're not quite a sack of potatoes. They're there sitting to ride the donkey, and another person is holding the reins, right? And so now this one, the sitting on the donkey person, is the one who acquires the donkey, not the one who's pulling on the reins, because that pulling doesn't work or may not work according to the previous suggestion. And that's exactly this question of which one, which one acquired the donkey? The one with the reins or the one sitting on the donkey? Shema mina, rechuv kane. So the Gemara concludes, right, that riding is the one who, riding the donkey acquires the donkey, pulling the donkey does not. I feel like this is very granular, especially, you know, in terms of broad strokes discussion of acquisition when it's very specific to the donkey, right? As opposed to, I don't know, a sheep or a horse or a cow or whatever. But the Gemara doesn't like this conclusion in any case. Hachanami b'manhig braglav, right? The Gemara says, well, here we're talking about somebody who's not just sitting on the donkey, but is really like riding the donkey and using his legs to get it to move, right? Whether that means kicking it or whether that means, I don't know, right? Signaling with to the animal that it's time to go. People do that with the when they're riding. Ihachi nikne nami rachuv b'mosera. So then the Gemara says, well, in that case, the person sitting should also be considered as if he's also doing something with the reins, right? Because he's using this to lead the animal, to get the animal to move, even though he's on the back of the animal. Ema zekana chamor v'chatzi mosera, v'zekana chatzi mosera. Right? So the Gemara answers, okay, so let's revise this, and let's understand that you're saying you're acquiring the donkey, and then it's like half of the reins, and that one is only getting half of the reins. Now, why you want to, this to me is very, very puzzling, right? To say the person who's on the donkey, not only does he acquire the donkey, he also acquires half of the reins. The person pulling on the reins gets half of the reins. Since when do we do acquisition by halves in that way? And the answer to that might be that first mission in the beginning of the Masechet, where we have two people claiming that they're both acquiring the animal. I don't know why we've got one person on the reins and one person on the donkey. Are they fighting or are they trying to get it to work, to make an active acquisition work? I feel like there's backstory, the real circumstances that would be helpful here, but on the other hand, it also might just be theoretical. The Gemara continues, Bishlama Rachuv Kani. So let's say fine, it's fine that the person riding the donkey, you know, acquires it. Dika magba le bendat. El tafus b'moseira b'maykani. So if you're sitting on the donkey and you get half of the reins, because the whole idea is that that's the person who's in charge, right? You are a competent person with da'at, right? Paying attention to what's going on. You're using those reins in order to be able to acquire your donkey. But what about the other person holding half the reins, right? The half of the reins that's attached to the donkey, you can't pull the donkey and acquire it. So he's not going to acquire the reins either. So the Gemara comes again and says, no, fix that wording again. Zekanach, meaning the half reins thing, forget that. Zekanach chamor v'kule mosera, zekanach masha tafus biado. So say the person sitting on the donkey acquires a donkey and almost the entire reins, meaning whatever it is that he's holding in his hands, like which is the bulk of the reins because he's using them to direct the donkey, as compared to the other guy who's on the ground holding just the ends of the reins, and therefore Kani Masha Tavus Biado, he only gets that little bit that's left over that he's also pulling on the reins. Now the Gemara has one more question before we turn it over to you, Yardena. Hi, Mai. The Gemara says, where do you get this from? What is this coming from? If you want to say that you're doing an act of acquisition that works to acquire the thing to the other party, to your friend, whatever, so let's say that that's what you're doing. You're you know, picking something up for the purpose of acquiring it according to the knowledge or the intent of the other party. Hi, adata didei kamagbale. But here, the person riding the donkey is trying to acquire the donkey with his own dat, with his own cognition. And likewise, the person on the ground with the reins. Ihu lokani lachrine makne. So if he can't acquire it for himself, how can he acquire? And again, the Gemara is going to go back and say, well, let's revise the Braita again. Let's reword it differently to make it make sense. Then Rabbi Abao comes and says, no, don't change those words. And I feel like this there's just more and more back and forth here, and we can continue this till the end of the daf. We're not going to, Yardena, I'm handing it over to you.
So I just think it's interesting, and I'm also going to talk about animals, the way that acquiring animals feature so prominently. And I think part of what makes this all puzzling to us is, I don't know about you, Anne, like other than owning a dog, I don't really like go around purchasing or acquiring animals. And I think owning animals was a real form of wealth, right? Like you didn't have money in a bank, you owned animals. So these halachot are very practical. Like, at what point does the animal become yours, and how do you actually take possession of that? Right? Like, today, our question would be like, okay, when do you, if you make a bank transfer, right? Somebody transfers money to you. What does that mean electronically, right? Like, how does that bank transfer work? When do you actually own that money? I just think, like, this is very much in the vocabulary of Talmudic times.
Yes, yes, very much so. I'm picture, all my pictures have, like, I mean, all my pictures, all my imagining of these scenarios in my head are dressed in Talmudic time garb, which is all my imagination. I'm not saying it's realistic, but as opposed to, I don't know, a farm in the Galil right now, that's not what I'm thinking of.
Okay, I'm going to move on, and then we're going to have a new Mishnah. So Rabbi Eliezer comes, and he asks the following question. But by Rabbi Eliezer, writes Rabbi Eliezer, asks, Ha'omer l'chaverov, some of the seller says to the buyer, Mishoch be'mazo liknot kelim shaleha, draw this animal near, right? So he's doing Mashicha, a form of Kenyan, in order to acquire the utensils on it. Mahu. So the question is drawing the animal near a way that you can acquire the Kalim? So the Gemara then says, leak note, right? Does the seller really mean to say, right, to like acquire these utensils? Honey. But in that case, did he ever say explicitly, like, honey, like, you know, acquire the utensils? He didn't explicitly say that, right? He just says, Meshoch me mazo, leak note kalim sha'alaha. Right. But the question is, did he ever say like kani etta kalim, you know, something like that? Was he being explicit enough? So the Gemara then says, Ella, no, what Rabbi Eliezer is really asking is, okay, right? Mishoch behemazo, right? The seller says, draw this animal near, ukene kalim shaleha, and then acquire the utensils that are on it. Mahu. And so the Gemara says, mi mahanye mishicha de behema, is the drawing near of the animal effective? La'akune kalim, right? To acquire utensils or low. That's really the question. In other words, normally we would say, how do you acquire the utensils? You pick them up, you draw them near yourself. But can you do that by using another animal, right? And so this, the implication is this a case where both the animal and the kalim are being sold, right? So then, yes, in Rabbi Eliezer's mind, it seems to be that just by drawing the animal close, right, you could acquire both. But Rav is going to challenge this. And he says, Amar Rava, e amar le. If the seller says to the buyer, kene behema u kene kalim, acquire the animal and acquire the utensils. Mi kani kalim. Would he acquire the utensils the way that Rabbi Eliezer said, right? Because in other words, the animal, like the chatzer, right, in a way becomes like the chatzer of the buyer. And therefore, mishicha within your own chatzer isn't good. In other words, drawing something near on something that you already own doesn't make you acquire it. So if you own the animal, it's you still haven't sort of acquired what's on top of the animal. Okay, chatzer mehalachat hi, right? So this would be considered a traveling courtyard, but chatzer mehalachat lo kani, and a traveling courtyard cannot affect acquisition for the owner. The chi tema, and if you want, you could say. That if the animal is the buyer's courtyard when it stands still, right? Then surely whatever, you know, cannot be a courtyard to affect acquisition while traveling, omed v'yoshev lo kana, can also not affect acquisition when it's standing. In other words, just because the animal is now standing or sitting and not moving doesn't change its status as a traveling chatzer. And the traveling chatzer is not something that can affect acquisition. So the Gemara then says, okay, what's Rabbi Eliezer really talking about? Right, the point of the law, which Rabbi Eliezer is talking about, is a case where the animal is bound. In other words, so can you do mishicha of an animal where it's bound so it can't really walk? Is that an effective way to acquire kalim that are on top of it? Because in this case, because the animal is bound, it can serve as a courtyard because it can't really travel normally. So therefore, Rabbi Eliezer has to make his inquiry about a case where the animal itself is not being acquired, right? And therefore can't be a courtyard to acquire the utensils. Now, so specific, right? Like again, I think this is like boundary pushing. What it's really asking about is how does an animal serve as a chatzer, right? Like, how does an animal, because we know you load things onto an animal, you can put things onto an animal. So how does that affect transference of possession? And then the Gemara goes on with this question of a traveling courtyard. Amrle Rav Papa Rav Huna Bereid Rav Yehoshua LaRava. So Rav Papa Rav Huna, the son of Rav Yehoshua, said to Rava, Elamei Atza. But now, right, that you said that a traveling courtyard can affect acquisition. Hayim Mahalach B'Sfina. Let's say somebody's on his boat. V'kavsu Dagim V'naflu L'Tocha Sfina. And some fish jumped out of the water and fell into the boat. Heichli Nami D'Chatzer Mahalachad Hi V'lo Kani. Would you say the boat is a traveling courtyard, and therefore, even though it falls onto his boat, right, he can't actually, fish are considered to be ownerless, okay? So the person has to actually acquire them, but he can't acquire them because the boat is a traveling courtyard. So Rava says, Amar Lahu, he says to them, Sfina menicha naichai, a boat is at rest, umai udaka matu la, and it's the water that moves, which I found to be fascinating. Now, I don't know that you could say that today about today's boats that actually use engines, right? This would be true, the wind propels it. But today, we have engines. So I found this to be interesting, like, would Rava's, you know, conception of this actually apply today? And then it goes on to say, Amar Le Ravina Le Ravashi, Ravina says Ravashi, right? Now that we talk about that a traveling courtyard, then if a woman the Kalta is traveling, she can't actually be Kona. She can actually acquire it. So Ravashi says, Amarle, Kalta may not nachay. The basket is at rest. And she's walking beneath it, right? It's not the basket that propels itself. An animal propels itself. And that's why Rava's understanding of an animal is different than, you know, the Kalta, or different than the boat. But again, I have a question about modern day boats. Like, I don't know that modern day boats would necessarily still follow Rava's rule.
I don't know if, forgive me, but I'm not sure Rav's rule, as fascinating as it is in conception, I'm not sure that it's quite practical, I'm sorry, or accurate, right? Like, we know that the boat moves across the water, like, but right? Like, the idea that
it's the water that propels it. It's the water.
Right. Okay. So let me say this a little more carefully. Certainly there are times when the currents move a boat, let's say. And there are other times when wind moves the boat, to the extent that sailors can harness the wind to fight the current to go in the other direction, right? Or they have to do it carefully to make a zigzag to be able to, you know, circumvent the current. So yes, water can move the boat. But even back then, not only and not always, if you were only ever following where the water took you, you would not get to where you wanted to go.
Yes, but I think that's exactly the point. Rav is telling you it's not the boat, it's the water. That's what he's telling you. You just really don't like his conception of this.
I think his conception doesn't match up with the reality, with the mitziyut in a 100% kind of way. Meaning, yes, sometimes.
I hear that.
Sometimes.
But that's not what, right. You're thinking about this in a much more meta sort of
way. I'm taking issue with Rav. I know his shoulders are much broader than mine.
You're taking an issue with Rav. Okay. I just want to quickly wrap up this episode of doing the Mishnah here. Hayu rochev al gabei beima. If somebody's riding on an animal, v'ra'at mitzia, and he sees something, right? Like an ownerless object. He just sees something. V'amar l'chaveron, he says to his friend who's standing nearby, tsnili, give it to me. That la, and the other person takes it. Vamar ani zachiti ba, and then he says, "Nope, now I have it." Right? Zachaba, he did get it. E mishanat nalo, but if after he gave it to the rider, amar ani zachiti ba tchila, I acquired it first. Lo amar klum. It's as if he said nothing. So the idea here is that even if somebody picks something up for another person, they don't automatically acquire it for the rider, right? It's only acquired once the rider actually takes possession to it. And so the Gemara is going to start off by quoting a Mishnah that appears in Peah about somebody who gathers Peah. Remember, that's the commandment that the growers in Eretz Israel, you had to leave a portion of your crop, right, the corner, so that the poor could harvest that for themselves. So somebody gathers Peah, and he says to somebody, you know, this part of the crop is for this poor person, right? Rabbi Eliezer is basically going to say he acquired it for that poor person, and he can't give it to anybody else. And the Chachamim say, right, he has to give it to a poor person in order for it to be acquired, right? You can't just designate it. So they'll have a discussion about that. I think this Mishnah makes logical sense. Like, I don't think you read this Mishnah and you're like, yeah, that makes sense. You kind of have to get it into your friend isn't being nice to you, but you certainly, it needs to be in your possession for you to acquire it.
That's our DAF discussion for the day. Thank you for joining us. Rank us, review us where you get your podcasts. Come talk to us on our Facebook page and tell us what you think of this DAF. Thank you to Rebbe Michelle Farber for hosting us on the Hadron website. And until tomorrow, go and learn.